it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello, everyone. This is Raise Your Voice as part of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Brett Rutherford, joined as always by my good friend and co-host, Darby Robinson. Darby, we're going to get right into it. We're not going to talk about baseball at all. We are going to talk about the launch, the unveiling of the long-awaited Tampa Bay Rays City Connect uniforms. I mean, there was so much anticipation for today, and I'll just speak for myself and throw it over to you. Man, they met all of those expectations that I had. It was one of those, I hate waiting for something for a super long time with super high expectations because it always leaves the chance to be let down. I was not let down in the slightest. I love these. And what were your thoughts when you first saw them?
10 out of 10. Absolutely blown away. It surpassed every one of my wildest expectations for this. I was nervous, but more cautiously optimistic about them. And the closer we got to the unveiling, I was getting very optimistic and very excited. And I would have been, it would have been a very big bummer, especially after the last weekend of baseball, to like go into this launch and not have it be anything other than really good. And a lot of these City Connects around the league, it's been a mixed bag. I think mostly the best they've done is a lot of them have been kind of just meh. Some have been outright ugly. A couple have been really good, but it's been a tough road. So I think a lot of fans, when their City Connects are coming out, they're more just like waiting to be like, is this going to be ugly? Is this going to be bad? Holy crap. What a spectacular job that the Rays, and Nike and the Rays creative team, especially, did in executing this vision. It's bold. They didn't play it safe. They didn't lay up their shot. They went for it, and they took a huge swing, and that is exciting, right? Like they could have gone some sort of shade of blue. They could have just had a very, like, you know, very simple, very clean, very like traditional, like nothing too exciting, nothing too crazy. Don't rock the boat. Try to just get it on the fairway. They didn't do that, and I applaud them for it, because holy crap, what a fantastic unveiling, and what a fantastic vision. Oh, you're muted.
Ooh, rookie mistake there for me. we are going to dive into some of the logos and the uniforms themselves. And if you're watching on YouTube or on X, you'll be able to see some of those visuals. And if you're listening to as a podcast, maybe, you know, hop on over to YouTube. Make sure to like, subscribe, turn on those notifications so you know every time we go live. Join us in the comments. And if you're listening as a podcast, make sure you download, subscribe, follow, so that every new episode is downloaded directly to your device. And if you really want to say thank you, you can head on over to patreon.com/raiseyourvoice, where you can become a Raise Your Voice member for as little as $1 a month. As we build our audience on Patreon, we'll be looking to do some exclusive content on there. But yeah, they didn't play it safe, and they took a lot of risks, And the uniforms themselves, I know I tweeted, they're perfect. They're not perfect. There's, I have a couple, like, you know, when you stare at it all day, like you nitpick everything, but the overall vibe was something I wasn't expecting until we started to see some of the teasers in St. Petersburg, a mural that replaced like a Tom Brady mural in St. Pete. We had been kind of hypothesizing for over a year now. You know, we had heard whispers mm-hmm. of things. Maybe there was some smoke screens thrown out there because of how well the Rays kind of kept this under wraps. But we had kind of been, in the last week or so, one of the first teasers they put out, kind of a beachy, they show palm trees, sunny day. Yeah. And yeah. we start talking about the Don Cesar and St. Pete and how they can use, you know, pink as a color that we haven't seen in a Rays uniform before, and maybe some different shades of blue to give this, you know, beachy St. Petersburg vibe. And I think I wasn't sure if it was going to be Tampa Bay across the chest or St. Pete. That tying into the St. Petersburg community has been, and it still is part of this, but such a big part of the Here to Stay campaign, as they
for sure
still try to lock down funding and approval for stadium development plan on the Tropicana Field site on the historic gas plant district. Not the T's have not been crossed and the I's have not been dotted yet. But I really wasn't sure what direction they were going to go in here. They go with Tampa Bay. They really tie it into the skateboarding culture of the Tampa Bay area. Something that, like, I'm familiar with, but I learned a lot more about today from today's press conference. I knew that, like, Skate Park of Tampa was really big, and like Lil Wayne used to go skate at Skate Park of Tampa, and a lot of skating celebrities. But man, I love it. It's also kind of like a not a throwback like the old disco uniforms, but like it is a throwback uniform. There are aspects of it that come directly from the Devil Rays days, including the lettering on the chest. They added some flames in there. And of course, the colors, a lot of purple, a lot of green, a lot of blue. And so they made it different, right? It's new. It's not just a throwback uniform. They added a lot of new fun stuff. And they created what I believe is now the greatest hat in franchise history. With the Skyray. The Skyray has
Skyray.
It is a stingray that is making the shape of the Sunshine Skyway Bridge, hence Skyray. And I bought the hat instantly. I'm not dropping $200 on a jersey, at least not yet. The hat was an instant buy for me though.
Yeah, me too. No, the hat's an instant buy. The hat is an instant classic. Like, that is, of all the pieces, I think that is one of the most perfectly executed pieces of uniform in this franchise's history. It's, I think, the most perfectly executed piece of City Connect uniforms that has been released, like, as a singular piece. It's incredible. It is incredible. While we talk about this, and we're going to bring up like each of the individual elements and kind of go through for the visuals, if you are watching, drop your comments. What did you think? Are you psyched about it? Do you love it? What's your favorite part? Did it not hit for you? Because, you know, art is subjective, right? You know, this is one of those things where I think we're both very psyched about it. And we'll go into some of the stuff that really worked for us and maybe some of the stuff that didn't, but it's okay if you didn't like it. That's fine. I will say this about this unveiling. A lot of times with these City Connects, it's a mixed bag of not only the quality, but like also like the kind of the general feel from people. There's a lot of like, I don't know about that. Or like, oh, that's cool. I guess the hat's cool, but like maybe I don't know about this. And then you kind of learn more about all the thought that went into it and like the small touches and like references. And that does sometimes, you know, bring that up for me. This is one of those ones that right off the bat, like looking around on like Twitter today and Instagram, you know, like comments and stuff, this is getting really high marks from everybody, not just Rays fans. Rays fans are psyched about it, it seems, for the majority of them, at least. This is getting really high marks from like everybody, right? Like you got like Mike Petriello talking about it. You had Travis Sacha. You had Jerry Blevins, ex-Mets reliever. Like everybody was buzzing about it. And comments from like fans that were like, I hate the Rays, but that's amazing jersey. That's an amazing City Connect uniform. And people being like Alex Fast of Pitcherless, who's a huge Baltimore Orioles fan, was just like, maybe I'm gonna have to rock this cap. This is like, I know it's a rival, but like it's a really awesome hat. So that was cool to see this design get like its flowers right off the bat and celebration from people around the league, fans for teams outside of Rays fandom that were just loving it. The Sky Ray is a really cool one. In the unveiling press conference, Warren Hypes, who did an amazing job. I just want to take this moment. He was the kind of the lead creative kind of behind this. He had a great team behind him too, who were all working really hard, and they all deserve a huge amount of credit. Warren was there at the press conference, kind of talking through the elements that went into it, the story behind the elements that they're telling. And he mentioned with the Sky Ray, that was not like, that's a name that I think the internet, the Rays, when the mural kind of had those, yeah, that little leak, the tiniest of leaks there, yeah, you know, that when that Ray kind of came on there, people quickly found it. I posted it on Twitter as well as everybody else. And we saw the Sunshine Skyway Bridge, and people online were just starting to like post like Sky Ray. And he even mentioned like, that's a pretty cool name. And today the official socials for the Rays, when they posted the lineup card, they said the Sky Ray is coming Friday. Yeah. So it looks like that is the name of that new logo, that amazingly fire logo.
Where I think this hits, and I'm gonna go ahead and pull up the website, and we'll start digging into it. Where I think this hits is, we have seen other teams unveil their City Connect, and it is a huge deviation from that team's branding. It doesn't, like, there are some really good ones that have had that, like the Washington Nationals come to mind. With the cherry blossoms on like that dark gray, kind of maybe a little lighter than the charcoal uniforms that the Rays just rolled out today. Those City Connects are being retired for whatever reason. That should be like a
terrible idea.
a permanent alternate jersey. But obviously the cherry blossom, such a big identity for Washington, D.C. The Boston Red Sox have their like, yellow and blue uniforms that look nothing like Red Sox uniforms, but mean a lot to the city of Boston. What the Rays did is I feel like they kept the identity not only of St. Petersburg and of the Tampa Bay area, they kept the team's identity, but it felt new. And you're like I said, with the lettering, you see Tampa Bay here with the Flames. Here's our first look at Skate Ray, which is just, it's just fun. I'm adorable. Sky Ray. I'm Sky Ray over Skate Ray, but I love them both.
I'm also Team Sky Ray over, but I see a lot of people loving the Skate Ray.
Which is great, and that's the other thing I love about this is there is, as we kind of scroll down and see the elements of this, and you see Yandy Diaz, the Grit and Glow tagline, I think is perfect. It's so raised. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Like, this feels really tied into the identity of our team. There you see the Sky Ray on the matte helmet. That looks really sharp. And then the Tampa Bay lettering across the chest with the charcoal textured jersey. You get some more piping around here. Bright green Nike swoosh. Yandy looks great in just about anything, but definitely the City Connect uniforms. The use of the word surreal, again, I think huge for St. Petersburg, mm-hmm, and Salvador Dali and the museum and surrealism, the importance of surrealist art for St. Pete's community. Let's just dig into this. Darby, I know you have you really enjoy the Three Palms logo with the Pelican.
That's I think the Sky Ray is an amazing logo. That hat is amazing. But to me, of all the elements, if I had to pick one favorite, and this is hard because there are some really good elements, that Three Palms and Pelican with the neon, the black kind of fill and the neon burst outline, I just love it. It's so cool. And then you get into the elements why, you know, palm trees are obviously very Florida, but that Three Palm logo ties it back into not only St. Petersburg, not just Florida, but to St. Pete and to the skate and to like tying that theme together. And then the Pelican, it's on the, it's obviously a big Florida bird, but it's also, it's on the flag of St. Petersburg. So those are like a direct reference to the home of the Rays, hopefully now and forever, not just the Tampa area, not the just Tampa Bay area, but like that is like for like almost the first time, really, like a direct, like this one is for St. Pete. This element for sure is like, this is St. Petersburg. And a nice tip of the cap to them there.
Yeah, man. Like there, and the thing is, there were so many directions they could have gone in. And like I mentioned, there's a lot more safe directions they could have gone in, but I love that they went for it. And I love that they spent so much time on this. Like it was worth the wait. I thought it was strange. And it seems like, you know, Nike's issues with delivering products to MLB is huge. But I thought it was strange when, like, what is this, year four of City Connects or year three? Was it the year
four? I think
2021, I think, then 22, 23, and 24. Yeah. And I thought it was weird to like not have every team just have one that season. That's kind of what the NBA does. They did their version of City Connect. I don't know what it was called. It's been quite a few years now. Every team had one. And a lot of the goals were to just make it look different. And now you see teams in the NBA wear them like all the time. Like there was a season where the Orlando Magic wore these orange and gray uniforms like all season. And I'm like, that doesn't even look like the Magic anymore. MLB, obviously, it's a little they won't wear them as much, although the Rays do plan on wearing them a lot. It sounded like they kind of needed to pull some strings to wear them a little more often than other teams. MLB pretty strict about uniform rules. The Rays are even going to be the first team in Major League Baseball to wear these on the road, which I think is really cool. And it was mentioned That's in the great. Press conference that they had to kind of ask those teams. But yeah, the rest of the elements here. The Skate Ray, like it all ties in so nicely. The great use of colors, Sky Ray still my
with absolute. the skate Ray as well, which I posted this earlier when we got the first glimpse of the like backdrop for the press conference. They had a Ray with a skateboard. And one little fun element, obviously we know this is now like this uniform package is very skateboard and skate culture heavy. But there's something cool there is that like skates are a species of ray, a type of ray. So there is an animal called a skate that is in the ocean. That's a ray. So there's a cool, like little pun for the, you know, marine biologists.
There's plenty of little Easter eggs here. Here you see some of the accents, the details in this hat.
So good.
I've never seen anything like it
for something. The sweat brim. They got a sweat. They got color. They had a color gradient on the sweat brim.
You know,
that's amazing.
And usually those are white in a lot of hats that I've bought. And I've never understood that because it's just going to get really dirty.
Yeah. You don't want to see what's coming off there.
This will be nice though. A jersey texture fit for a day in Tampa Bay designed to simulate a black shirt that has been weathered in the Florida sun.
Love that. That's, I think, a really cool element. I think, you know, the color of getting black back into it is cool because I think the Rays, that was the very start of their franchise, had black as a central color. They haven't had that in a long, long time. This is a cool way of bringing that back. But then I love that, like, sun bleached, like, taking it off of just pure black. Very cool.
I will say I'm a little sad that, like, I'm thinking of Rays that are no longer with the team that would have been great in this campaign. Mm. First one that comes to mind is Tyler Glasnow. I think he would have really looked, you know, pretty sharp in some of these photo shoots. Pete Fairbanks, another good one. Willie Adames, another guy. I know it's been a few years, but we're playing against him tonight, so it made me think of him. I thought he would have been great. Maybe one day he'll be back. Who knows?
We'll see.
Some more details about skate culture. We get a little bit of DJ Kitty inclusion. And they were really telling us a lot in those murals. Now that we've seen the whole thing. Like, skating. Like, that's the theme. Here's what's going to be on the hat.
I just want to talk about that real quick. The unveiling of this and the rollout. I thought this was so cool. And the way they did it and the way they were able to clamp down on any leaks was incredible. Only leak, and like a lot of these City Connects leaked out. Like we saw, like they were on, like, you know, somebody had a box of them ready to be stocked, and so somebody took a picture of them. Like we saw so many things like that for of these City Connect jerseys early, like the Mets one, the Phillies one we saw early. Like there were so many leaks of these. The Rays, nothing leaked out. They like held it under wrap. We didn't get anything like color. We didn't get theme. We didn't get anything until they kind of started to slowly piece it out. The only leak of apparel that came out were the socks. And that was like a 24 hours before the actual release. And that was clamped down immediately.
Yeah.
Like incredible. And like the mural was really cool because I think the fact that, you know, I didn't get spoiled on this. We did at the Rays Bay had a few folks that were able to kind of get invited to the press event early and kind of get to see them. They all kept their lid shut, which I think was great because like it kept us the guessing game of this, not knowing, really, really worked out. And so I applaud the team for their commitment to detail in this, but also to like really protect that secret, protect this unveiling. And the fact that, you know, you get the murals out and it was like this, this like week, like almost a week out, you got this like little tease of like, okay, what are the elements? What do we got here? Like, what's in this? They had the poster teaser, they had the mural, then new elements of the mural come out and you're like, okay, what changed? What's different? And on that one, we did notice, we saw the guy there has the three palm trees and the pelican on the shirt. We saw the sky ray for the first time. It was very graffiti. It was very skateboard. We didn't at that point realize it was going to be so graffiti and skateboard heavy inspired. But it all makes sense like afterwards. So like a good twist, like a good reveal, all the elements are there. They kept laying it out in front of you. And once you see the final image, it all makes sense. So love this rollout. It really felt so purposeful. And we were talking about this before we went on of like, we've seen a lot of these City Connects over the last 4 years and like the rollouts, and there's been really cool elements in them. But this one does feel like weirdly different because there was so much work and so much like press and like the idea of like building up to this, really felt like a different like stage. It almost felt like a rebranding of the team.
Yeah.
Like it's not, but it does, it had the buildup of what would be like a complete rebranding,
which I don't know if we're too far off from. I don't, like, if you think about everything that's happened in the last few years, and it's not lost on me the timing of this. I don't think this is intentional. Like, they've been working on this for years, but we're getting close to a vote on the redevelopment of the historic gas plant district. And they have been hitting you over the head with here to stay, here to stay. This is, I hate to say it, probably the last big push for a new stadium in the Tampa Bay area. If this were to fall through, I don't know where they go from here. I am optimistic and confident that they will get the vote approved and they'll, you know, start work on a new stadium to be playing in it by, you know, 2028 or maybe 2029.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With that being said, though, yeah, this does feel like they're kind of dipping their toes in the rebrand waters. Stu has said like he wanted to wait a long time before ever bringing back any Devil Rays branding. It had been asked, and people in the organization had discussed it for years before the team finally started to wear Devil Rays again. I believe it was 2018. For the 20 year anniversary of becoming the Rays, and they started to bring back like some of the 2008 people and whatnot. But now they wear them quite regularly. They've changed them a little bit. The Durham Bulls even have their own Devil Rays gear. These uniforms don't say Devil Rays because the team will never be called the Devil Rays again. They're going to be the Tampa Bay Rays. But leaning into that Devil Rays branding of the purple and of the black, right? Mm. We haven't seen a black uniform in a long, long time.
Long time. Yeah.
And it feels like, you know, we're moving towards some new branding that will be kind of a mixture of the original Devil Rays branding and what we have now. And I'm pretty excited for that. I think like the Sky Ray, the Skate Ray. Is very much City Connect, like goes with these uniforms. It'll exist for a long time, but only in this context. The Sky Ray, that feels like something a little more permanent. Like that feels like that's a logo right there. When you see it, I think everyone would instantly know what it is. Like that logo was released officially today. I think if you showed it to any baseball fan that had not seen a City Connect, they'd be like, that's the Rays. Yeah, that's the bridge they have in St. Pete, and that's a Ray, and it's their colors. Like,
that's that bridge I was stuck on in traffic after the Rays game for several hours. I know that bridge anywhere.
That's why now I know why people don't go to the games. But it is so quintessentially
Rays. It has the color gradient in a different way, but it's like it's different but familiar, modern but familiar. That's a really tough balance to strike. Right. But I agree that like that logo could be a permanent logo for a team. Like that could be. That's how good it is. Let's bring it back up. That's how good it is, and that's how like how definitely, you know, like the neon stuff, the Skate Ray, like that stuff is very cool. Like it's definitely different, but like that right there, it like you got the gradient. You got the green to the light blue to the dark blue to the purple. You got the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. You got the Ray.
And listen, I'm not a graphic designer, and so someone tell me, you know, that I'm stupid in the comments. But like there's ways I think to adjust this and have like Tampa Bay be within like and they build something around this. I'm sure they have much better ideas than I do. I'm hoping we get the Sky Ray. I love the hat. Like I said, the instant purchase. The one that they'll be wearing is like a black base and like a purple bill with a ton of fun stuff going on in, you know, on the underbill, everything like that. I would love to see, and we're already seeing it with Seafoam. That's a lot. Seafoam, we'll get to that in a second. But I would love to see this hat on a navy blue hat, maybe with navy blue outlines, and maybe that become like the alternate hat as opposed to the sunburst hat. Maybe that'd be your spring training hat. I don't know, MLB, Nike, like they're very involved. Sounds like the creative process, it was a lot of Rays and a little bit of Nike. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if you're allowed to just make a City Connect, you know, parts of your City Connect, your true alternate. I guess you can do whatever you want.
I think, it is interesting to, it is worth like being like, well, it makes sense that your team could do anything, but the baseball is very strict, right? You know, you have a set limit of jerseys that you can do. You have like uniform combinations and you have to pick them and that's it, except for the City Connect. So it's like the Rays have, all teams have four jerseys. If you know, Nike shipped them to them, they have four sets of jerseys they can wear during a year, plus their City Connect. That is the fifth. And that's it. So like when the Rays had to pick, they ditched the road gray jerseys to have the Columbia blue, the dark blue, the navy, the white, and the devil ray. So like it is very, it is seemingly very restrictive, like needlessly restrictive, but you know, whatever. That's baseball's prerogative. Immediately, without even seeing him on the field yet, and I think that's going to be the next big test, right? Is for to see live. This already immediately feels like a jersey. I'm glad to see. Here's the thing: the Rays have been around for a while. I think they have a very good design in their uniforms. It is very traditional, very classic, very safe. A lot of ways. And so having another fun jersey in this it's fun. I like having some variety. And I think with uniforms, it's nice to have some variety.
I think with uniforms, I've probably got a little bit of, in terms of like your regular uniforms, a little bit of get off my lawn. Like I like, you know, wearing white at home and wearing gray on the road. I think we're starting to see, obviously, you know, some different colored pants in the City Connect and otherwise, like Diamondbacks have added a lot of color to their uniforms. San Diego has like made big changes. A lot of teams have, and I think the Rays, like it feels like they're. I know, like one of the. I mean, it's got to be like bottom half of the league for uniform sets in terms of how old it is.
Yeah,
I mean, think about how since 2008, how many teams? The Marlins have changed brands twice.
Yeah,
They've gone through a lot of different uniforms.
Blue Jays,
Orioles bringing back like the cartoon bird. Like,
yeah,
a lot of teams have changed. The Rays, the only official change they've made to the logo is now they've removed the baseball diamond that goes behind the word mark. That no longer exists officially, although you still see it in a lot of places. That was their official logo for a long time. And yeah, like you said, there was an article in FanGraphs. There's been a lot of like baseball discourse the last like week has been like all Rays uniform crap. there was that article on FanGraphs that was talking about like the sunburst or whatever you want to call it, and the history of that and kind of some new details that we learned about Rays rebranding. Who wrote that article? I need to give them credit.
Let's see. Let me bring it up.
But while you pull it up, here, I've got FanGraphs up here. I wonder if I can find it. But anyways, like Stu Sternberg saying that there was inspiration from the Yankees, right? Like, I don't know, some people took issue to that.
Andrews, by the way. Davey Andrews. Yeah.
I thought it was a great article.
It was a really good article.
The Rays uniforms are so I don't want to say bland, but like you said, they're very straightforward, right? Like
classic traditional, right? Yeah, traditional. They clearly were going and when in the, you know, they talk about how he wanted to be sort of like, you know, brand similar to the Yankees. I think what Sue was really kind of going for there is like that classic team. Right. He's from New York. So he grew up like the idea of you have like the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Giants, like those teams have jerseys that are fairly indistinguishable than when they were playing in, well, two of those teams back in New York, you know, like these are timeless, like nothing too crazy, no big swings, but like very clean traditional uniforms, and that is totally cool. I don't mind that.
And part of me would like to see the Rays get to that point. And it's been, you know, over 20 years. It's been 25 years since they've, or it's been almost 20 years since they've become the Rays. And it, I want to get to that point where that, like the home whites, like whenever they wear them, you know, during the regular season, but on opening day, you know, they're going to be in the home whites. postseason, game one. They're going to be in them whenever they're at home. And so that does start to have that classic feeling. Like I get butterflies, like on opening day, they're like the team takes the field and they're in the home whites and the uniforms are pristine. And I'm like, man, this is like a big game. And so I hope they keep, you know, whenever they rebrand, if they do, and we're just speculating, right? I hope they keep like this branding that we've known since they've been good. I think that means something to us now. Like we live through and are living through the golden age of Rays baseball. And so these uniforms are attached to that. I have faith though. Like after seeing this, if the Rays can keep those people employed in their creative department, I trust them with just about anything.
Absolutely. And that's the thing with this unveiling, it really does make me excited about a potential future rebranding because I'm like, I want this team involved. Giddy up, let's go. And I don't think we're going to see a rebranding until we have like probably shovels in the ground for the new stadium. I think the timeline was 2028 for the opening of the new stadium in St. Pete, if you know everything goes according to plan, which with construction, nothing ever gets delayed. That doesn't happen. So I think with that, it's like, you're sort of so close. Like, do you really rebrand in the trop for the last couple of years? Or do you start now putting in that time, that couple year time to build towards a rebranding when you open up? Like, I think it's one of those things where we talk about it now. We speculate it now. Cause this is like the first like brand new, new jersey for the Rays, new uniform, because the Devil Rays kind of throwbacks, while they are a little different than the original Devil Rays jerseys, this is a new take. It's a new, that's familiar. This is a brand new take that we're seeing. So real quickly, what is your favorite element? What is an element that didn't work for you? That's a question that I'd love to
if I haven't made it more clear, the Sky Ray is my favorite part. I think, like I said, iconic hat, instantly iconic. Just whoever designed that, incredible job. My least favorite part is the flames on the front of the jersey.
Yeah.
I don't fault them for trying. Right, I just, if that part is like, it's like a little like childish and like a little like. Feels like Hot Wheels, or a lot of people know, you know, recognize that Thrasher, like a huge brand in skating culture. So I completely get what they're going for. And I think in some ways it works. Okay. It's not my thing. And that's why, like, I got the hat and I'm not spending the money on a jersey unless, like, it's way too expensive now. But I was looking for some, you know, apparel, either a hoodie or t-shirt. And I didn't go with one that has the Tampa Bay on the front. It's just not my thing. It's cool. But you know, what about you?
I love that Tampa Bay is returning to a jersey, to the front of a jersey for the first time since 2007. I think it was what they said. That's awesome. That is something that's been, I know a lot of people have been calling for. I've been wanting to see, to like return to that, like this is the area they're from, right? This connects the two. I think my favorite piece of it is still the three palms and the pelican. But one thing I do think, which is really great, that the Sky Ray does, is by including the bridge there, you really are the Tampa Bay Rays. You are the connecting Tampa and St. Pete. You are a team for both. You are not a team for just one or the other. You're a team for both. And I think that is a really cool thing. But for me, my favorite is that my least favorite is also the flames. I 100% get the reference. I think I like that they committed entirely to the theme. The lettering, the flames, not my favorite. Now it's the one part that like I am not vibing with myself. That's totally fine if you are. Like that's, you know, that's cool.
I think I would have I also like the throwback aspect, but I think I would have gone with completely new like typeface and tried something out. And they've got different typefaces like in the, you know, the rest of the brand. And I would have maybe went with those and just gone for it. But overall, like the other gripe that a lot of people have had is the fact that it's like charcoal on charcoal or black on black. With just a thin outline with those, you know, neon bright colors. And it's hard to see. I get that from a broadcaster standpoint. I definitely get that. Like, can't see the
number. You'll get the names, though. You'll get the names. Those are neon green. Those are going to show up.
And hopefully the right size, right? Unlike the other uniforms.
And hopefully the right size.
Which I have noticed, like, it's gotten better. I think on the Columbia blue set that they're wearing tonight, I think those have had the right sized names.
Okay.
Slowly
getting there.
Yeah, they're getting there, and they're starting to be a mea culpa, and things will be fixed eventually.
I will say with the black on black, I think that I'm a fan of the theme of it. It's actually these jerseys are what I wished the rebrand of the Marlins was, like kind of that like Miami Vice, like the Heat did with their alternate jerseys or their like specialty jerseys. I love the black on black with a neon pop. I think that's really cool. I will agree, like in the pictures, it's a little hard to read, but I am curious to see how this goes on the screen, on the field.
Yeah.
Whether it's legible, and maybe in the future they'll need to make a thicker neon line to make those pop. But I'm very intrigued by that try. I actually think that's the part. While it is that's another big swing there. But I think the black on black is kind of cool, if it can work.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't see much negative though, like from race fans, from national people. It was a joyous day, I think, for race fans, which
it was a very joyous day.
We've not had many of those this season. In Derby, we've waited over 40 minutes into the show before talking
about We're trying to run out the clock. We're trying to run out the clock to not have to talk about.
I think we got to bring them up, though. And they're playing a little better tonight. Rays are in last place. They just got swept on the road by the Chicago White Sox, which had won three games.
They had three wins.
Yeah.
They came in with three wins.
They were in the early conversation for like one of the worst teams ever. Like people are like, is this team going to win 50 games? Like is that in the cards for this team? And they swept the damn Rays. The five straight postseason appearance, you know, two out of the last 3 years have won the American League, or two out of the last 4 years have won the American League East, won 99 games a year ago.
Two of the games were
close, and both of them ended with the White Sox. I will say, I do have to shout him out. I think I've mentioned him on the show before, but one of my former Little League and travel ball teammates, Jordan Leisure, got the save on Sunday's game, his first big league save, and he pitched a little shaky all weekend, but got the job done. And it was bittersweet to listen to. I was listening to the game in the car to listen to him get the big league, his first big league save against both of our, you know, our childhood teams. So I shot a message after the game, just congratulating him. And he was like, yeah, it couldn't have been scripted any better to do it against the Rays. I kind of want to flush that series. There's a lot you could draw of that was like, this season under a magnifying glass is kind of what played out in Chicago. All of the things that we don't like about this Rays team are on full, you know, showcase. But I feel like if you look at the last like 10 games, there's a lot more about this team that I'm still optimistic about if things change. Obviously, like if they stay status quo, this is not a postseason team.
Right. And I think there's something that comes up a lot after this series, right? This was a disastrous series. It was like, there's no sugarcoating. It's like one of the worst series like the Rays have had in recent memory. This is like the Red series where they got swept a couple of years ago in 2022 comes to mind. They have some bad road series where they just like absolutely stink up the place. And this is an awful one, right? You have to come away with two wins versus the White Sox on the road. Like that, you have to in that situation. At the very least, you have to not get swept. But like, here's the thing. It's baseball. It's three games. And it happens sometimes. So in that situation, right, it's an awful, awful game. This is not like the team that you're expecting. And it's not also like that the plan is going awry. There's like certain things that they could have done to maybe help boost it. But like, this is like a weird, I think I've seen some people kind of trying to celebrate about like, oh, I told you the Rays would regress. Like this isn't regression, right? Like, yeah. Like Randy Rosarena has gone 100 plate appearances. It's like since April 1st, he has 3 extra base hits. He has a WRC plus of 18. He has an under 500 OPS. That's not regression. That's like, that's a slump. That's like if you were like, okay, Randy's not a 4-win player. He's a 2-win player. All right. Maybe you can like argue that if you want to, like if he's like getting a little older, too bigger, like he can be like a little less. You don't go from being like an all-star to being the worst hitter, like the worst qualified hitter in Major League Baseball. Like that's a slump. That is not going to last. Right. Unless there is a underlying injury, that is not going to last. Yandy Diaz is just chasing ball. Like we've seen Yandy Diaz for years. Like we know that he's not going to hit like this all the time. So you have two of your best players in like the worst slumps of their career. You also have numerous injuries and guys that are kind of waiting to come back. So you have this like horrific like mix where you have guys who you are expecting to be good and will be good eventually that are in horrendous slumps. And then you have all the reinforcements are like a week away, sort of, if they stay healthy, if there's no setback type of thing, which there was a little bit with Josh Lowe. Sounds like there's some good news there. But like, it's one of those things where it's like, you can't just like be like, we got to make a big move. We got to make a big trade because it's like, well, that guy's spot is coming back in like 4 days. But like, it's this awful like middle ground. Like in 2 weeks, like this team could look entirely different. Like yeah, it's not just the jerseys that'll look different.
It's Darby, the lineups. I'll say I was at the Bulls game yesterday. I watched Junior Caminero go 4-for-5 with 2 home runs and a double, and Taj Bradley throw 5 no-hit innings. There are your players.
That like, would transform you. Yeah, transforms you.
Like, these guys are prospects with – and Taj Bradley's had his rookie season already now. Serious juice. Junior Caminero.
Oh, yeah.
Junior – like, there are – some would argue that he, going into this year, was the top prospect in baseball because of the bat. Over Jackson Holliday, over Wyatt Langford. Absolutely. There are some that like his bat better. Jackson Holliday, we saw it for him. Wyatt Langford just got his first home run, and it was an inside the park home run.
Man, he's fast.
All of these players will be fine. They will probably all be all-stars. But I think Junior Caminero, we saw it last year. He could hit in the big leagues today.
He could hold his own, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm not trying to say like the Rays are manipulating his service time, because I truly think he's 20 years old. He skipped AAA last year,
and then he got hurt like in the worst timing. Yeah, because it was just when he's like just starting out, and they were like, we need to get him some reps, and then he got hurt and then he missed time. So he's like getting his reps, but it's like it's such a bad timing,
right? Like his bat is so good that they will play him at shortstop. And I guarantee you he will be a below average, borderline, like unplayable big league shortstop. And the Rays were still playing there.
They're playing some below average major league defenders in a lot of places right now, just because they're desperate. So
like they would, I mean, probably not gonna play him at second, right? He's got a nice arm. You can play him at short, move Jose Caballero to third or second.
I think one thing, so like, let's talk about that. Like what is the, in a perfect world? So right. So like the injuries, like the rehabbing players, everybody that's like injured right now, that's now back playing, right? So the only person that's injured, that's not back playing besides the pitchers that are rehabbing is Brandon Lau, and he's progressing, but he's a little bit further back. So you have Jonathan Aranda, Johnny DeLuca, Junior Caminero, and Josh Lowe all were doing rehab and back to Durham. Josh Lowe was set to basically debut on Saturday, but then he woke up feeling with a tight hamstring, flew back to Tampa, apparently got an MRI. Cash said today that got good news there. They're taking it day to day. I'm imagining they're probably not going to hop on the plane. He's probably just going to chill out, and maybe he'll debut with the Sky Ray on Friday. But Aranda, Caminero, and DeLuca, and Taj Bradley are all rehabbing right now, currently in Durham. So what, in, say, 2 weeks, what does this team look like? What are the moves that are made? And I'll say 2 weeks because, like, some of these guys have to build up a little bit. Some of these things could happen within days. Like every day that goes by, there could be, like, the push alert that says Rays call up top prospect Junior Caminero.
Oh, yeah.
Like that could happen at any moment. The other day, they had a push alert that was like Junior Caminero had an amazing night. And I just saw a push alert MLB Junior Caminero. I was like, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. He had a great night.
Cool. Yeah. I don't have a great night
for the Durham.
The Bulls aren't back in town until next week. And I have tickets for Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. Like if I had a bet right now, I don't know if I'll see Junior Caminero again.
I hope not.
Yesterday, that's the timeline I think we're on, and then we forget like Taylor Walls is progressing. He's had some setbacks, but like he'll be back.
He looked good. He was walking without a limp, and he looked very sharp in that uniform. Gave us a twirl. So you know, Taylor's getting ready.
But when we look at this roster resource page, the only name in the starting lineup where I'm like, you know, he's probably one of the first on the chopping block is Austin Shenton. Great guy, great story. Has even started to find some success offensively in the lineup for the Rays. I think, you know, he's 26. I just don't see a fit for him right now. He's got 3 options years left, so that's not a worry. He could come back up if a left-handed bat got hurt. Mm-hmm. He's seen big league pitching. They're playing him pretty consistently right now. Like he's playing.
They are starting to pick him up. Yeah.
He's played the last 3 nights, including tonight. So maybe they're giving him those at bats just to see the big league pitching before he goes back down to AAA. Then on the bench, Nico Goodrum, they're barely playing him. He is one of the oldest position players they have. He is truly the last man on the roster. He got a start tonight. Again, might be close to just being down. And I mean, they're waiting on their timing. But like Junior Caminero, he could replace probably not Shenton because you want the left-handed bat. But if he was promoted for Goodrum or Curtis Mead, but I'll say Goodrum, like that instantly makes the roster better, a lot better.
Yeah. And you fit him in. You could put him at third, and Isak Paredes could slide over to second fairly easily. And probably improves your defense quite a bit.
That's taking that bats away from Ahmed Rosario, which, again, I think that's good. Like, if Ahmed Rosario is an everyday player for the Rays, they're not a great team.
He's been awesome, but like, you want that bench to not be like, oh God.
The idea was
Rosario is off the bench and you're like, hot damn, that's awesome. We've got Ahmed Rosario off of the bench. That's great.
I mean, like if your bench was Ahmed Rosario, Richie Palacios, although he's quickly like looking like an everyday player.
I don't know. He's going to the bench anytime soon. I'm liking some Richie.
Rosario, Palacios or Siri, Johnny DeLuca, Taylor Walls. There's not even enough room for all these guys. But if that was your bench, that's an interesting bench. You can plug any of those guys into the lineup every day and not really weaken it if your lineup has Nandy Diaz, Brandon Lau, Randy Rosarena, Junior Caminero,
and they're all playing.
Isak Paredes, right? If they're all playing, like that lineup becomes again, I think above average in the American League, not towards the top, but above average for sure in probably all of baseball.
Now with this, okay, so with this lineup, right? Caballero and Palacios have been really pulling a lot of weight. They've been doing really well. And Caballero has been very good defensively. So I think you're keeping him there. I'm keeping him there. Richie, I'm getting in because he's also a lefty, right? So he's playing against every right-handed pitcher. And he's also looked very sharp in the outfield too. So my first move, the guy that's closest back is Josh Lowe. Right. So my first move for Josh Lowe to come in is for Nico Goodrum, because I think they have plenty of infielders. So you get Goodrum still has options. So you keep him with the roster. So he goes down to Durham.
And he doesn't, does he have enough service time though, where he can decline like a minor league assignment?
I think he has 4. I don't know what the cutoff is. I thought it was 5.
I think he's
only at 4. So he is. He's still a year away. It's rough. Baseball's rough business, man. You're stuck for a long time.
One quick tangent. That is one thing. Like I guess I've always known it about AAA, but there are so many players in the International League where you're like, oh yeah, I remember him. He played for like 4 years. What's he doing here?
Yeah.
Like Dom Smith. Dom Smith.
It's rough. Yeah.
I mean, then I started watching Jake Odorizzi and Erasmo Ramirez and Yanni Chirinos. Like Yanni Chirinos, I'm like, damn, he was a big league starter for a few years. And here he is down here in AAA. Like, there's a lot of
wild. That's wild how that happens. So Goodrum goes down. Josh Lowe comes in. And now immediately you can have Josh Lowe in right field against a right-handed pitcher. And there's Ahmed Rosario going to the bench because now Richie Palacios could go play second base.
Yeah.
Right. You could do that right away. You can even leave Shenton in there. Then when Aranda is ready, there's your left-handed bat. That's Shenton, the all bat, no glove guy. He's going away. When you got potentially DeLuca, now you have to make some choices, right? Now you have to really see like, where is Harold Ramirez at? Right. How is he hitting? Is he not making contact? Is he still struggling? How is Siri doing? Because he's been really struggling at the plate. And DeLuca brings speed, he brings contact, and he brings defense. And that could be something that's more valuable in a little bit. But I think the next person back, Josh Lowe, just immediately improves this team by like so much.
Oh, yeah.
Like immediately. That's like a huge, I mean, that is a tremendous addition. It gives your bench another key piece. It gives you another left-handed bat. It gives you defense. It gives you speed. It gives you stolen bases. I mean, that is huge right away. Like we want Aranda back. We want DeLuca up. We want to see like Walls, but like Walls can take his time. They're solid right there with Caballero. The big key is when Taj Bradley's ready and Josh Lowe is ready, that immediately means your rotation at the back end is now Zach Littell. And then you have Pepio and Taj and Savale and Eflin, like that's a great rotation. You can then immediately move like Taj right in there, and you can move then that bolsters your bullpen because now Alexander goes into the pen, who's been pitching really well. Like that's the thing that I think I want to stress here. As bad as it looked this weekend, because it did, it sucked. There you go, but it doesn't even take that much. It takes like one or two guys getting healthy to like completely transform the entire outlook of this team. And then when you get more guys, it just kind of keeps going.
Yeah. Out of these guys on the IL, position players, there's 5 of them, Brandon Lau, Taylor Walls, Jonathan Aranda, Johnny DeLuca, and Josh Lowe. And, you know, 3 of them have already rehabbed, and the other 2 are probably, you know, anywhere from 2 weeks to a month away. There's not room for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you, like, does Johnny DeLuca get an option here? Like, does he get optioned and spend some time in AAA?
I think DeLuca is not an immediate add.
Yeah.
I think that is when he is ready. You have to make some really tough decisions about what the outfield's looking like. Because if Johnny DeLuca's coming up, he's taking plate appearances probably away, because you're not going to necessarily be benching Josh Lowe a ton. I think he's taking plate appearances away from Jose Siri. So I think you have to make your decision, is Jose Siri the guy you want in center field, or would you rather him be the fourth outfielder and he's like more bench, which means you have to make a tough decision on Harold Ramirez.
Jose, yeah. No, okay. So, and these things will work itself out. Like we said, there's five guys on the IL. DeLuca could realistically just be optioned at the end of his rehab assignment and stay in Durham. I think he's got like 20 days. He can be on a rehab assignment before the Rays either have to option or DFA or, you know, reinstate from the
injury. And no option. He has plenty of options left. He'll be sticking in Durham.
Yeah, he's got two options left. And I think right now that's the obvious fit. But if you had to take five guys off the current roster, I think we're you know, to add all five of those back. If they were magically activated tomorrow, you would Goodrum and Shenton would be an easy one and two. Is it Harold in Mead?
Mead you can keep. So you can option him down. I think with Mead, you go, if they're all ready, right, then like Brandon Lau is up here and now you have some lineup protection because the power bat's there. But like if it's like Aranda, right, like I think, or Caminero, right, because that's, we haven't mentioned Caminero. But he's not going to last. Like Caminero is going to be up before Walls and Lau get back.
It's
because that's unlikely that he'll be down another month, especially if the offense continues to hit so poorly.
Yeah, who would be the most likely to be traded if the Rays had to pull off a trade to make this work? Because I can see it getting to that point, you know, late in May.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those under-the-wire trades.
Some trade for a nice, like, reliever, right? Like, if Fairbanks is still, like, dealing with his arm injury, you're like...
But, like, which of those players would you trade?
Mead.
Yeah,
I think Mead. So like Harold Ramirez is like makes sense, right? But like you're not getting anything back for Harold Ramirez. Now, Harold Ramirez is your trade if it's like a guy that like got DFA'd, right? Like if a Jake Diekman situation, like which happened mid-season last year with the White Sox cutting him. I think it ended up being like a cash considerations, but like that would be the type of move, right? You either DFA Harold or trade him and replace him with an interesting reliever that hit the wire. Yeah. Curtis Mead is, you make that move and you're like trading him for a significant piece. You're trading him for like a real, like
cashing,
a real
piece. You're kind of cashing in there.
Right. Because here's the thing with Curtis Mead, like he has still plenty of years of control. His bat is starting to look a lot better. It's starting to look a lot more mature. I think there's some real question marks. The question mark, it's weird with his power. He has 112 max EV, which is elite. But he has two home runs in his career, and they're both over Crawford's corner for the 162 landing. And they only would be home runs in the Trop. So it's like, until he hits a home run elsewhere than the Trop, I'm like, I don't know if the power is there. But like, I think he hammers the ball really hard into the ground a lot. And getting the launch angle and the power and the exit velocity has not quite happened yet. But he's also so young. So it's like, it could definitely happen. You don't just get rid of him.
He is one of the youngest players in baseball. He is the youngest player on this team by far. And I know we have seen in recent years so many players come up at ages 20 and 21 that immediately light the world on fire. Like, that is not the norm. Like,
no.
We saw it obviously here. We saw it with Wander Franco. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's
20. Yandy Diaz, before 28, Yandy Diaz was basically given away by Cleveland.
Right. Yeah. People were shocked when that trade happened.
Like, who's this old guy that we're getting who can't hit home runs, but he's super buff?
I think Kevin Cash might be about to be ejected, by the way. I'm not really sure what's going on, but he's arguing with something.
Might be helpful.
But yeah, I mean, Curtis Mead, he is hitting the ball hard into the ground. And like, I think it's just good. Like, hitting big league pitching is really hard. Like,
very hard.
some of those balls that you know you get that nice swing plane and you drive out of the park, it's a little bit easier when they don't have as great a command of their 94 mile an hour fastball, and when they leave one middle, you crush it. Like, that's what happens in AAA, and you get to the big leagues and it's like, oh, they can all dot 95 and exactly where they want it, and I got to face this guy three times today. And so Curtis Mead, like, I think he'll be fine, but I'm also okay if they option him. I still think there's probably development that can be had at Durham. So again, there will be some tough decisions. I like the, idea that Curtis Mead could potentially be traded.
It would have to be for something significant. Again, I'm not saying like you just dump him for anything like that.
No,
he is being traded for like a move if you're doing that.
And again, I know they're playing like crap right now, so it's a little bit funny to, call them one of the most talented organizations in baseball, but they still are, and it's incredibly hard to carve out
playing. The talent's there. They're just not on the field right now with the Rays. They're like, they're in Durham, they're injured.
If Randy Arozarena is a below replacement level player, nobody can be like, well, the Rays plan didn't work. Like,
right.
Yeah. They banked on their all-star to play really well, and he was the worst player in baseball. Like,
what a bunch of fools.
Like, when the Rays almost traded him, I don't think they almost traded him, but whenever it was reported that they were in discussions to trade him, everybody started to write their little think pieces about the Rays and how they operate. The same people are probably thinking now, like, man, the Rays plan sucked. They really thought Randy Arozarena was going to be good again this year. Like, can't have it both ways.
Exactly. I think that's my take with a lot of people that are like dunking on the Rays failures. And that includes Rays fans. Like, this isn't the plan. This is like, and it's not even like your plan B where it's like, you didn't plan for it. It's literally you. Who's planning for like your all-star, like Randy Arozarena, to be not just bad, but like actively one of the worst players that you have? Like, he has been hitting like a pitcher for a month. That you can't plan for that. That's absurd. It's crazy. Anyway, before we go, our editor, our boss, our chief, Danny had a point. He had a comment about where he thinks Harold might be in the future plans here. You can bring that up on the stream here.
Sorry, I had a bunch of windows covering that. There's
Danny. So Danny doesn't see him in the long term plans.
Where's
or does he think he should just needs to be comfortable? He needs we need to bring a couch to the dugout, maybe.
That would be nice. Harold's kind of a heftier guy. He might need to rest all that muscle after
all that muscle that he's grounding out.
Man, that's a little rude to Harold. We've always kept it civil with Harold. But yeah, I'd like to.
We love Harold the person. We do love Harold the person. Oh, I think what's really tricky with the Rays right now, with Harold Ramirez, with everybody, is that you really need the whole team approach right now is rough because you're not seeing guys work at counts. The Rays aren't pulling the ball. They're striking out a ton. They're whiffing. They're not walking. They're not hitting for power. So all of those things combined, like that's like having Harold Ramirez, who's like kind of the embodiment of all of those things. He kind of, I think, is like a bit of a pain sponge when it comes to that. But like, it's true. When you see Harold Ramirez strike out on a pitch like a mile outside of the plate, and you're just like begging for anybody on the team to like do something good offensively, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
But to conclude, help is on the way.
I believe so. I believe so. Like
the Sky Ray is here.
I was having this debate with someone who said, and this was something we discussed right before the season. We're like, we said, what happens if they're a 500 team at the end of the month? And it looks like they're going to be a below 500 team. They definitely will be a below 500 team by the end of the month. But I still feel like they're 500 until they hover around 500 until they get those reinforcements. all you have to do is win like 85 games to be right there in the mix. I feel pretty confident that they're going to be in the mix. Maybe this is the year that your 5-year postseason, you know, run was snatched. I don't know. Maybe you lose it this year, but I think they're going to be right there. I don't think we're going to be playing meaningless games come September. Go ahead.
Well, I think for me, that's the thing, right? Is that until we actually see I can't fully judge this team until we see like Caminero up and Josh Lowe back. Like, I think that's the thing, is like I need to actually see Caminero and Lowe and Randy, like when he's like at least positively aggressed a little bit. And then I can be like, okay, does this team have it? Does this team not? Because right now, like, this is clearly the like not a finished product. This is like judging a cake and it still like needs to bake.
Yeah.
We have one last thing before we head out, and it's a good one to end on.
Oh, okay. Top 3 City Connect hat color and logo combinations. Are we talking about, I'm guessing, just for the Rays? Okay, like variations.
No, I think City Connects, all of the City Connects.
Oh, all of the City Connects. Okay.
Yeah. So our top 3. My number 1 is the Nats cherry blossoms.
Yeah.
I think that's a really, really, really cool execution. Looks great. Super cool. What about you?
The Nats is definitely on there for me. Another one in my top 3. Okay, I got to look up the hat specifically because I don't remember it. Maybe this isn't a great... but it's the Colorado Rockies City Connect. I love the jersey
more than
the hat. But I think the hat is really sharp too. It's just
that's a good one.
It's just like it's their state flag, in like the license plate. And I think the logo has more to do with the flag. I really like that one. It's probably my top 3.
I think the second is the Rays, to be perfectly honest. I know it might be like it's just so soon, but like got to see it in person, obviously. We got to see it live, but I think it's absolutely a fantastic execution. And rounding out my top 3, there's more that are there, but I actually think in terms of like getting the idea of what does City Connect mean, how do you like build it, how do you like what are you looking for, what are you gaming for, I think San Diego is in my top 3. Because that is a very vibrant, bold, colorful, fun uniform combo, and I like the connection between Tijuana and Southern California. So that's my top 3 is the Nats, the Rays, and the San Diego Padres.
San Diego's is really sharp. I kind of like all the city. Like, there hasn't been a City Connect that's come out that I've said that's terrible. I think they've all looked like some are better than others, of course.
But there's definitely been elements that work for everybody. Right,
I hate when people are like, oh, this is crap. I'm like, yeah, someone worked on this, and maybe it is crap, but like try to find like, oh, okay, like that looks sharp, or that's a cool idea. Like, it's art. So, I like them all, but I do think like Rays put out like a fashion line, like a fashion piece today. Like, this is that it has staying power, or you can already tell how much staying power it's going to have. The Rays, like, again, I go back to Sky Ray, like that being, you know, a huge part of the Rays brand moving forward. And I think that's what makes it a great hat. I get mine tomorrow and I'm really excited, and I don't think I can wear it to work, but I got to find a way to just wear it. I want people to see it. I was showing people at work today, like, guys, you see these new uniforms, and no, none of them cared, but it's okay. It was good. The timing was good, right? To get, and I found out what Kevin Cash was arguing about, by the way. He was arguing about whether or not there was a fair ball called. or it was called foul and then fair. Anyways, the Rays are winning 1-0 in the sixth. If you're not tuned into the game, if you're watching us instead of the game, well, thank you.
Good choice.
Yeah, good thank choice. You for listening. And tonight, you know, look, they're winning right now. It's early and it's a 1-0 game, but that is going to do it for this week's episode of Raise Your Voice. Thank you guys for listening. If you're not watching on YouTube, you missed it because we had a lot of visual cues and everything on YouTube and on X if you were watching live. But Darby, any final thoughts before we sign off?
You know how good a design is when after you get swept by a 3-win club, the worst team in baseball, all Rays fans are like psyched and excited because you cannot feel a lower period of like Rays fandom than after getting absolutely shoved around by an abysmal team in the White Sox. And then here comes Monday after that humiliating sweep. And suddenly every Rays fan is just like beaming. We're all like excited. That's how good the City Connects were, is it took you from the depths of the pit and took you all the way to the sky, baby.
And I became so excited to watch the game tonight, like after this. And so I watched a little bit. I've been following
the game,
the timing, right? Like, I feel good. I feel like we're going to turn it around. And had the City Connects not launched, like, I think I'd still be fine, but I wouldn't be as pumped for this week.
The vibe shift is here. The vibe shift is here. The Sky Ray brought the vibe shift for sure.
Playing the Mets this weekend. Finally going to land the plane. But YouTube, like, subscribe, turn on those notifications. Follow, subscribe, download our podcast as well. So you can listen in the car, you can listen at home, you can watch on TV, however you like to consume Raise Your Voice. As always, make sure to head on over to draysbay.com to check out all that great Raise coverage. Once again, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.